Hey, lady, I am so freaking jazzed that you're here. My name is Emily, and I am a clinical social worker deeply passionate about what's going on in between our years. I am here to help build up your toolbox against self-doubt, social comparison, and nasty self-talk to help keep you kind to your mind. You know, we all have something going on in that noggin of ours that isn't always kind. So let's put in the legwork and flex those mindset muscles so that we can move the mountains we were meant to freaking move. Let's go. What is up, Honeyhead? Welcome back to another episode of The Kind Mind Project. If this is your first time that you are pressing play on this podcast today, I want to say thank you. Thank you for being a part of this mission that we're on to not only be kinder to our minds every single day, but to encourage the women around us to do the same. At the end of the day, that is what a honeyhead is. She is a woman that is pouring honey into her head, but also into the woman next to her. So thank you for being here and for being a part of this. I am coming at you today with a little bit of mushy-gushy goodness, but also with a tough love spin on it. You know that if you've been listening to this for a while, you know that I'm going to keep it real with you. I'm going to be honest with where I'm at in my Kind Mind journey so that hopefully we can assist you in your Kind Mind journey as well. So my reminder for you today, if you have read the title of this episode, it's exactly what I want you to walk away knowing. You are the love of your life. You are the absolute love of your life. And that hit me the other day as I was honestly sitting in church. Church is not something I have gone to in a very long time, and I continue to have kind of a complicated relationship with, but that in particular struck me. I am the ultimate love of my life. Not a partner, not a child, not a parent. I am the only constant in my life. I am the person that I'm with from the moment I took my first breath to the last one that I'll take. It's my job to love me first. We know what we do when we're in a relationship. Right? And we know that relationships, whether they be romantic relationships, relationships with family, friends, whoever, relationships take work. Hard freaking work. And so does this relationship with you. I imagine there have been seasons, and maybe the season is right now, where you haven't been investing energy into this relationship. I think we all know that feeling of having a friendship that's in a season of not being super active in that friendship. A season of we're in different places and spaces and we have different goals and maybe we're in different seasons of life. And not that that relationship has ended, but it's taken a little bit of a pit stop, right? Mutually, you're not putting in as much energy to that friendship and that relationship as maybe you did in a previous season. Well, same goes for your relationship with you. I imagine more often so does that happen with your relationship with you. Now, one, we know that relationships take work. We know that they take investment and energy. We know that. We also know that a relationship with ourself is kind of be like dating. I mean, I think back to a start of a new relationship. and what that felt like. When you're in love, you want to do a lot of things to make that person happy. When you're in love, you want to learn about what excites them. You want to put energy into making them happy. When you're in love, you care about what upsets them. You care about how they're feeling. When you're in love, you want to spend time with them. So my challenge for you today is to take a look at how this is showing up in your relationship with you. We just decided that when we're in love, we want to know what excites them. We want to know what excites them. We don't know what they're interested in so that we can learn about it, right? In your relationship with you, how much energy are you putting into learning about what excites you and learning about what makes you feel fulfilled, what lights you up? Because I imagine you're similar to me in feeling, well, some of those hobbies are going to have to go by the wayside because other people have needs bigger than mine. Or that interest of mine is going to have to go on the back burner because we have different goals right now as a family. We have different needs financially that I need to be putting my finances into rather than the things that make me happy. But I bet if it was a person in your life that came to you wholeheartedly and said, hey, this is important to me. This excites me. This makes me feel fulfilled. I know we're in this season financially, but do you think there's a piece that could go to this? I imagine if someone that you love communicated that to you, you wouldn't think twice. Of course. Absolutely. Yes, we're in this season right now, but I want you to feel fulfilled. I want you to be happy. I want you to have an outlet. It's funny, isn't it, that you would immediately say no when it came to you. We know that when we're in love, we put energy into making that person happy, striving to make that person happy. How many times in your relationship with you have you done the opposite? Have you overworked yourself at work to meet the needs of other people rather than prioritizing your own happiness? How many times in a conversation have you withheld your opinion or something that upsets you that would lead to your happiness, but you've held it back? Whether that be because you thought someone else's need was bigger than yours, or it wasn't important enough, or you didn't want to make it a big deal. But when you're in love, you put energy into making that person happy. When was the last time, be real with yourself, when was the last time you put energy into making yourself happy? We know that when we're in love, we care about what upsets them. We care about when you make someone that you love upset, or it hurts. It's uncomfortable. When you get angry, when you get upset, automatically saying it's your fault, yourself for it. I want to tell you today, and this may come as a shock and maybe a little bit uncomfortable or maybe confusing to hear, but your anger is actually the part of you that loves you the most. It's actually the part of you that cares about you the most. It knows when you're being mistreated. It knows when you're being neglected and disrespected. It makes you aware that you need to leave a room, a job, a relationship, old patterns that don't work for you anymore. Anger is actually your best friend. But here's what happens when you get angry. When you get angry, you try to bottle it down. You do that thing where, as women, we say, nope, I'm fine. Clearly, we're not. But that's what we say. I'm fine. It's not a big deal. I don't want to talk about it. But for someone that you love, and if you knew they were angry, they were upset, that's not the reaction you would have. You wouldn't shit on them for having that response. Your immediate thought would be, oh my gosh, what was the cause? They need something different. something has to change because they're upset. Or maybe I did something to upset them. But when you're angry, the response is very different. When we leave this conversation today, if you get nothing else, I hope that you start to explore the idea that your anger is the piece of you that cares about you the most. Your anger is actually your best friend. And as you're listening to this today, you may be thinking, Emily, I mean, that makes sense. That's great and all, but I don't know how to do that with everything that life is asking of me. I don't know how to do that. I can't be in a selfish season right now. First of all, I hear you. And secondly, you know I'm going to challenge you on that. Because what you're doing by being your own love, by being your own love of your life, that's not selfish. Because here's what happens. When you're able to truly fall in love with the relationship with you again, what happens is every single other person that you interact with benefits. Every single other person that you interact with gets to see you in love with you. Because let me ask you this. In seasons where you know that has not been the case, where you know that your relationship with yourself has not been where it needs to be, I think we can all recall a season of our life where that's been the case. How did you interact with other people? How did you experience the world and therefore show up in the world? Because I know the answer for me is honestly in ways that I am not proud of. There have been seasons where I have not been very much in love with myself and have taken it out on my partner. I, a while back, did a lot of Enneagram-based work with an incredible human, Tracy O'Malley. Go check her out. She's phenomenal. But a lot of what I learned with her as being an Enneagram 2, a social Enneagram 2, what I found was I oftentimes expect people to know how to love me. I expect people to know how to show me support because that's something that I feel I do naturally. I work in a helping profession. I am naturally a listener. I like to think so. And so sometimes I get caught in expecting other people to know how to love me, how to support me, how to make me feel heard. And in seasons where I truly did not know how to love myself, didn't know how to support myself, didn't know how to hear what I was going through, I was expecting other people to solve that problem or fill or meet that need or fill that void. And I wasn't doing so intentionally, but because I was so desperate to love myself again, I was expecting other people to have the solution without me even voicing that it was something going on. Right? And so I know that there are seasons of our lives where we are not our own first love, where we probably behave and interact with the world in ways that we don't want to or are not proud of or want to improve, right? And so for the person listening to this right now saying, you know what, Emily, I just, there's too much going on. There's too much that life needs of me. To that, I'll say, okay. But the cost is continuing to interact with the world in ways that you're not proud of. And that's something that I know you're not striving for. I know that's not an experience you want to have. So if you're struggling to prioritize this in your life right now, I want you to remember by doing this work, by dating myself again, other people are going to greatly, greatly benefit from the work that I'm doing. So, how do we do that work? What does that look like? Well, it's very similar to dating. You're going to have to date your damn self again. What does that look like? Well, what does a first date look like with somebody else? I know it sounds silly. I know it sounds a little bit ridiculous. But what does a first date look like? When you go to date someone, what information are you looking for? What kind of connection are you hoping to have? What we know about first dates is, well, I don't expect to be in love with them at the end of that first experience. I don't expect to feel fully connected and the same way that I might feel with my husband now, right? It was very different than the first date that we had together. So the same goes for this first date. Well, I probably want to know what she's interested in. Maybe what some of her goals are. Maybe where she sees herself a few years from now, right? Like, we can get with all those basic questions. Let's also think of the type of connection you would want to have. Well, on a first date, I want to feel heard by this person. I want to make sure that conversation feels easy, right? And so how does that look like in a relationship with you? We're not going to expect all of it to happen at once. But what can we do to kind of simulate that for ourselves? My husband right now is out of town helping his family. And this is the first time in a long time I've had a weekend alone. And at first, I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it. I was kind of excited to have some alone time. And last night, he left yesterday afternoon. Last night, I was having a hard time. It was me alone with my thoughts. And I was having a hard time. I hadn't had that experience in a while. And I felt antsy and anxious and I was sad, truthfully. And what I came back to was, okay, Emily, this is a first experience of getting back to dating you again. So just like a first date, I was anxious. I had expectations of how it was going to go. I second-guessed myself. I was self-conscious. I felt uncomfortable. And I had to sit in it and experience it. And although I know those two experiences are not the same, a lot of it is, though. A lot of it is. After I kind of rode the wave of being a little bit uncomfortable, I did some analysis, so to speak, and I looked at what was behind that discomfort. Truthfully, it was a lot of expectations that I had of myself, a lot of expectations to just enjoy the weekend and have it be smooth sailing and kind of be like a recoup moment for me. And when it wasn't that, I was startled. Just like we are in a first date where something happens that maybe isn't expected or doesn't go exactly how we thought it was going to go. And we get a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit in our heads. So we start there. We start with an opportunity to have a first date again. And we limit the expectations that we have on that. Maybe your first date with you looks like sitting outside on your back patio for 30 minutes without distractions, just sitting with your own thoughts. Really asking yourself a lot of those first date questions. What am I really passionate about? Because the things that excite you are not random. The things that excite you, the things that you look forward to, the things that you're passionate about, they are connected to your purpose. So although we may ask on a first date, what are you interested in? What hobbies do you have? Really what we're asking is what's important to you? What's your purpose in this life? Those questions always lead to something deeper. So maybe as you sit outside or have a slow morning and you remove distractions and for 30 minutes, you ask yourself those first 8 questions. And as this relationship continues, you go on your first, second, third date, that connection changes. And just like any relationship, you're going to have hard moments. You're going to have moments where it's hard for you to love you. I would be lying if I said that there weren't moments in my relationship and my marriage where it was hard to love each other. We never left, but it was hard to love each other. Same goes for your relationship with you. There are going to be moments where it's hard for you to love you, and you don't leave. Please don't try to escape the one relationship in your life that is the most consistent. Please don't try and throw that away by prioritizing everything outside of that relationship. It's the one constant that we have. And I know from experience and from previous seasons and some seasons now, I know that when I am treating my relationship with me as the number one priority, everything else falls into place. Everything else makes sense. Everything else feels good. And even when it doesn't feel good, I feel confident in handling it. I feel confident in my ability to bounce back, to problem solve, to navigate, because the love of my life came first. You know, some people might hear that and think it sounds a little bit selfish. God, you're so selfish for loving you more than anyone else. It sounds a little bit narcissistic, doesn't it? Here's the thing, if I don't love myself at all, I know the outcomes of that. I know the outcomes of treating myself like the last priority on the planet. And I know how that goes. So maybe it's time to do the opposite. Maybe it's time to start dating you again. I know it's like a first date kind of nervous kind of vibe. I know, but I want you to give it a try. I want you to give it a try, and when you do, I want you to tell me about it. So shoot me a message over on Instagram and let me know, hey, Em, I shot my shot in dating me. And I want to hear about it. I want to hear about how it's going, because I know that this whole like trying to get back to that place of genuine love and acceptance of you and awareness of you, I know that that process is really freaking challenging. It's really challenging and it's scary and it's hard. And I don't want you to feel alone in that process. But that first date does require you being alone with you and with your thoughts. So give it a go. I hope it goes well. I hope there's a second date in the future. And I hope you feel comfortable enough to share that with me and let me know how it went so that I can further support you in that. I love you so, so much. And I hope that today you prioritize you loving you. Okay? I love you so much. Take care. I will talk to you very soon.
Dude, thank you so much for including the kind mind and this freaking weirdo in your growth journey. If you connected with today's episode, I would love to hear about it. So slide on over into my Instagram DMs at Emily and the kind mind and let a girl know, okay? But until then, I will talk to you very soon. I love you so much, and you stay kind to that freaking mind.